You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Daryl Dash, who's written a book called How to Grow, Applying the Gospel to All of Your Life. It fits in perfectly with our theme of what we constantly are emphasizing, the importance of the gospel in all of the circumstances of our lives. It's a privilege to have him with us. Daryl, thank you so much for being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Adam, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you get started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background? Obviously, this book is written about spiritual growth, but tell us a little bit about you and how you have grown spiritually to the point of writing this book.
I'm a church planter in downtown Toronto, which I know is far from Boston, but it actually feels a little bit like Boston. So, and part of my journey has been as a pastor. I think on both sides, first seeing people who want to grow and then realizing how much I need to grow as well. So, you know, the reality is we're either growing or we're not. And if we're not growing, we don't stay stagnant. We actually go backwards. And just realizing, you know, there's a danger in ministry, pastoral ministry, of just staying stagnant and actually beginning to deteriorate in our spiritual condition. So, yeah, that's me. I live here with my wife and two adult kids, and we planted a church in downtown Toronto about 5 years ago.
When talking about growth, you're talking about specifically spiritual growth, and you're trying to use this in the subtitle of your book here, the Applying the Gospel to All of Your Life. Spiritual growth is often viewed in a very singular way, you know, the aspect of growing in your faith, but how does this affect multiple aspects of our life?
One of the things we're passionate about is talking about how the gospel applies to all of life, and I've been convicted a lot of times. It's pretty easy for pastors to talk about how to become better church members, and a lot of our sermons are about how to do things that really only apply to Sunday, and I'm thinking about in this book, how do we actually bring the riches of the gospel, not just to Sunday, but to Monday, to Saturday as well, and thinking about, you know, just all of life. I like what one person writes, Jeff Vanderstelt. He talks about growth being the ongoing process of submitting all of life to Jesus. And I love that. It's about, you know, our emotions. It's about our physical fitness. It's about our work life, every part of life, and thinking about how to grow and how the gospel applies to all of that.
You mentioned that this is something that we often get into this place of stagnation where we don't grow. Why is that? What is the kind of root cause to the reason why we might not mature and grow spiritually and in just at natural maturity?
You know, I find that there's quite a few areas of frustration and tension. Most people I know want to grow. I've never met anybody who says, yeah, I'd prefer to stay stagnant. But the reality is, I think most of us would say we're not growing quite as much as we thought we would. I think there's a few reasons for that. One is we don't have a plan. So growth is an aspiration, but we really don't have a strategy for how to grow. I think another reason is we get discouraged. And most people I know, we tend to beat ourselves up a lot when we fail. And it kind of ends up being a cycle of, you know, I want to grow. I don't have a plan. It doesn't work. And then I get discouraged. And then another reason is we try to do it alone. And I think in our culture, we tend to be very individualistic. God really meant us to grow in community. And when you combine all these three reasons, the lack of a plan, you know, getting discouraged and trying to get it, do it alone, it's no wonder that we're having a hard time growing sometimes.
I guess the question is, and you've touched on this a little bit, that most people actually want to grow, but the question has to be raised, why should we grow? If our salvation particularly is secured in Jesus Christ, why is growth such an important issue of concern?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think often of what is this growth all about? And I think the reason we need to grow is if you think of the alternate, I don't know if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, but the creature that sticks out to me in that is Gollum. And Gollum is this creature who, you know, becomes captivated with something. And the further he pursues it, it's actually a very theological statement about sin. The more he pursues it, the less human he becomes. And he turns from this, you know, rather normal creature into a monster, really. And the reason we need to grow is because that's a trajectory that we're on apart from God. The gospel rescues us from this destructive path of basically turning in on ourselves. And it's an extreme picture, but really sin does distort us and make us less human. The alternate is to be somebody who's fully alive and somebody who's actually becoming who God made us to be, somebody who's flourishing in every area of our life. So that's why we need to grow. It's because we're either on a track to becoming a distorted picture of humanity or to become more alive, to become more human, more who God created us to be.
What are some of the warning signs that we are in this place where we're not actually plateauing spiritually, but we're actually falling backwards? We're going, reverting backwards, as you mentioned, to this trajectory of away from where we're meant to be in our pursuit of God.
You know, there's so many ways to, so many warning signs. I think one of them is actually, one of the most deadly ones is actually to go through the motions, but to not have our heart engaged. Mm. And this is the person who actually is doing all the right things, and yet it's stale. And if you look in the Bible, the Pharisees are in that position. So, you know, my wife and I go to the gym, and I would look over at her sometimes, and I'd be, you know, having a pretty easy time doing the workout, and I'd look at her, and she's sweating, and she's, you know, she's obviously having a very difficult time. For a while, I thought, man, she's doing it wrong. I began to realize, actually, she's doing it right. My whole problem is I'm going through the motions, and she's actually doing the exercise the way that it was meant to be. So, as they say in the fitness industry, she's engaging the core. So that's one way. I think when we're just going through the motions, but we're not really, you know, experiencing it to the depths of our being, that's a warning sign. I think another warning sign would be, you know, when we get discouraged, when we check out, and maybe we stop doing the things we know we should be doing. And, you know, I think those are the two twin dangers, either just going through the motions or not doing the things we need to grow. And both of them are a mistake, of course.
What gave you the inspiration to write about spiritual growth? Certainly working in ministry and working in church planting, you're constantly going through a life cycle of spirituality with that kind of vibrancy of a church. Tell us a little bit about how you stumbled upon this principle to write on the subject of spiritual growth.
You know, you're right. Being a pastor and especially being in a new community was part of that. The other part was my wife came home one day, she is an accountant, and she told me she got a job with an online nutrition company. And I remember when I heard that, I thought, you couldn't have picked a shadier business to get involved in. I don't know anything that sounds more suspicious than an online nutrition company. But as she began to work, I began to see a transformation in her. She lost 60 pounds, and it wasn't through any weird stuff. It was simply by practicing good nutrition. I discovered that these people, they were PhDs, they had studied, they were consulting with professional sports team, they really had the goods, and what they were able to do was take the riches of their theoretical knowledge and just make it very practical and actionable for ordinary people. And that got me thinking, why in our churches, in particular, why was I having a hard time within my church doing the same? We have the riches of the gospel. But somehow, you know, it seems hard sometimes to bring it down to everyday life and apply it in a practical way to ordinary people who are just living ordinary lives. So it was actually my wife's work experience that led us to begin to think about how to do this.
And how does that apply then when you look at those kind of parallels? I had a similar experience a few years ago where I decided to make health a priority and lost 40 pounds, got really interested in what I was putting into my body and started to see my life kind of transform, also spiritually, because there's a physical and spiritual connection in a lot of ways. But how did you see these things happening in your own ministry and the work that you were doing with your church?
Yeah. So it was interesting because my wife actually felt stalled spiritually, and it was actually by beginning to work on her physical fitness that she began to also develop discipline in her walk with God. And, you know, it's key because I think people have seen that when you improve in one area of your life, it usually has an impact on every other area. So what we began to do is we began to think about what are some of the ways that work to either build physical fitness or our walk with the Lord? What are some of the principles that apply just because God has made us human? God hasn't made us spiritual beings. He's made us whole creatures. And that's why sometimes I think D.A. Carson, who's a great theologian, he says one of the most spiritual things we can do sometimes is get a good night's sleep, because that can actually help us rather than praying, get sleeping an extra hour, because the next day we'll actually be able to function. So some of the things we began to think about were, you know, what does it look like to live as a whole human being? What does it look like to walk with God? What does it look like to actually treat our bodies and our relationships and all kinds of things like that? So we began to just explore that, and in particular, to look at the key habits that would help us grow spiritually. But more than that, what are some of the habits that would actually help us to just live as whole human beings, honoring God with every part of our life?
Well, we talked theoretically a little bit about the concept of the necessity for growth, but we haven't addressed the subject of your book entirely in the sense of how to grow. So that's the question I have for you now, is how do you start to grow in every aspect of your life by applying the gospel?
Yeah, one of the key things that we talk about, really, there's a theoretical level of that, and then I try to get very practical. So we talk about, you know, the whole purpose of life is really three things: knowing God, worshiping God, and obeying God. And these three dynamics, they sound kind of airy-fairy, but, you know, we need to know God. We need to know the world he's created. We need to know him not just theoretically, but relationally as well. And then we need to worship him. We really need to learn to love and value him above everything and everyone else. And then as a result of those two things, begin to obey him. Now, what does that look like? Those are kind of the three overarching principles. But then we talk about building habits, and how do we translate those three things into everyday habits that characterize our lives? So I include a chapter on building habits. I've heard from different people that, you know, that chapter is pretty useful, not just for building spiritual habits, but building habits in general. And then we really drill down into what are the key gospel habits. I call them the core gospel habits that everybody needs to practice in order to grow. And that's really where things get practical. When we begin to develop those three core gospel habits, then we have a platform on which we can build. And I go on from there and talk about other habits to build, but it really comes down to those core three that have to be embedded in our lives if we're going to grow.
Now, when I got physically healthy a few years ago, and as you were mentioning that as a kind of core illustration to your book here on how to grow, I noticed that I thought I was doing pretty well in my life before I started to focus on my physical health. And then all of a sudden, so many things came to life, things that I didn't even realize I was missing. So I'm curious, what are the things that we don't even realize are a part of spiritual growth if we're not putting in the effort and putting in the work to grow and to prosper in our spiritual walk?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I think, you know, one of the things that I know that we've discovered is, I'll just give you an example. I'm a pretty check the box kind of guy. So one of the dangers for me is I can, I can get up and read my Bible and whip through my devotions, and an hour later you can ask me how did I encounter God today, and I won't have a clue. My wife, on the other hand, she's taught me a lot because she is not that kind of person. And as she began to get healthy physically, she really began to discover, man, there's a whole emotional health component to that. And so she began to work out, and it began to change, actually, just her emotional mood, her relationships with people, her relational skills. As we talked about, it also began to change her work life. She began to develop new boundaries, and it also changed her walk with God. Now, here's the interesting thing. A couple years ago, I said, you know, here's a Bible reading plan. I think you should follow this next year. About 3 months later, she came back to me and she said, thanks a lot. You just ruined my devotional life. What I tried to do was I tried to impose the way that I tend to grow on her. And she already had something that really worked well. So I think the key for all of us is, you know, just identifying those areas that are out of whack. And what's going to work for you isn't going to work for me. So for me, I needed to focus on my spiritual life, and especially not just going through the motions. For my wife, it actually began with working out and getting healthy physically, and that began to seep into her emotions and her walk with God and her boundaries and everything. So I love how unique God has made us. We're all the same, and yet we're also very different. And I think there's a lot of variety in how we approach the whole subject of growth.
How do habits and changing our spiritual habits, and even maybe changing and disrupting our spiritual habits, maybe ones that we've had for a really, really, really long time since our childhood, just modifying them a little bit, how can those help us to observe, detect, and actually grow in our spiritual walk?
What I've discovered is most of our life is run by habit. And so much of our lives, we just do automatically without even thinking about it. You know, this morning I got up and I got up the same side of the bed. I did the same thing that I do most days and went through the motions. And the reason why is because I thought about it one or two times, or sometimes we don't even think about it. We just end up in a habit. And so if we live half of our lives by habit, almost automatically, I think it really helps to develop habits that put us in the path of grace. So, you know, some of the habits that we do, I think it's important to think through, you know, what's a good way to automatically do the things that are going to help me grow. So I think it just takes some thinking. What are some habits that would allow me to, you know, walk with God, to be aware of his presence, to do the things that contribute to growth? And then knowing how we're different, how will that fit into my life? So, you know, a young mother with young children, a baby who wakes up crying every day, her habits are going to look different from a retired senior who's got, you know, the whole day ahead of him. Just figuring out what will put us in the path of grace and how does that look in my life. And it's going to look different compared to life stage and environment and all that kind of thing. It's going to look different for all of us.
Now, we're just beginning this year-long study on the subject of discipleship, and we're looking at it from many different components, not just making other disciples, but being a disciple, being a follower of Christ. And that plays into this theme of how to grow. So what advice do you have for us, taking out a whole year to focus in on what it truly means to be someone who is growing and someone who's growing in a community?
That's a great question. What I would tell you is, I think a couple things. Number one is this: find somebody who you respect, who's grown. Hebrews tells us to consider those who've taught us the Word of God and imitate them. I think one of the best things we can do is actually find somebody that we look up to who has grown a lot, and then begin to consider what is it that makes them tick? What made them that kind of person? So, you know, in my life, I've got three or four people I really respect. And typically they're older. Not always, though. Sometimes they just have a maturity about them that is so captivating. The interesting thing is they're not that impressed with themselves. So if you tell them, man, I really think you're a holy person, they'll look at you funny, like, what are you talking about? But consider their life and then begin to imitate how they grow. I think the other thing I would say is, you know, there's a few things that really do matter that are common to all people who grow. And within the book, I talk about these three core gospel habits. I would just practice those. So, you know, you mentioned physical health, and we've been talking about that a little bit. There's only a few key things. It's actually pretty simple, but it takes a lifetime of practicing those to pursue health. I think it's the same spiritually. There's a few key things that we need to do. If we do them and we actually engage, growth is very likely. They're not automatic. We still have to rely on the Spirit, but you know, things like reading the Scripture, listening to the Bible, things like praying, things like being part of a church community where we're actually engaged within a church community, these are key for growth. I don't know anybody who's grown who doesn't practice those core habits. And I think we just need to come back to them and do them over and over and over again over a long period of time.
We've been talking with Daryl Dash about his book called How to Grow, Applying the Gospel to All of Your Life. It's a great resource, especially as we're beginning this study, thinking about what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. Get a copy for yourself, and you will be greatly benefited as you think about how to begin your year with a foundation of the gospel to help you grow. Daryl, thank you so much again for being a part of the Many Voices for That One Message, and for sharing not only your story and your wife's story in proxy, but also for telling us what you've learned from the gospel and how to grow.
Well, it's a privilege to talk to you, Adam. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.